Hello, welcome to episode 5 of the IFRS for SMEs Accounting Standard podcast. In this podcast series, we continue to explore all things related to the third edition of the IFRS for SMEs Accounting Standard. I'm Helen Lloyd, a technical staff member at the IASB and part of the team that developed the third edition. The IASB issued the standard in late February 2025, and it will be effective from 2027. In the episode, I'm happy to be talking to Michelle Sampson, the IASB Technical Director for the project.
Hello, my name's Michelle Sampson, and I'm the Technical Director here at the IASB. I've been looking after the IFRS for SMEs project since before the IASB started the second comprehensive review and issued its request for information in early 2020.
So, Michelle, you've seen through the whole process of the comprehensive review, the opening request for information through the exposure drafts right through to issue of the third edition of the standard. This means you've spoken with a lot of stakeholders and heard an enormous range of views on the development of the standard. Before we start talking about the proposed amendment to the standard, could you tell us briefly what sort of messages you're hearing about the third edition?
Yes. And we heard a lot of feedback while we were developing the third edition and around the time the standard was issued. But it's slightly quieter now as SMEs get themselves familiar with what's in the new edition and before they start applying it. I think there were two overriding messages that we heard. Firstly, we heard keep it simple. There was a real passion for the ISB's commitment to keep the standard simple. There are two examples in this review where the ISB have kept things simple. One example is the standard has not been updated for IFRS 16 on lease accounting, perhaps because it's a bit too soon to understand the full effect on public companies. The other example is the ISB's approach to the impairment of financial assets, where the approach based on the expected credit loss model in IFRS 9 was not copied into the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard. We did a lot of work with preparers and users of SMEs financial statements to balance the costs and benefits. The outcome of this work was not to change the impairment model, but to provide users with more information about the aging of receivables. Now, the second overriding message we heard was the importance of the ISB's commitment to update the standard periodically. SMEs told us this is really important to them because they do not have the resources to handle an ongoing flow of amendments like those in full IFRS accounting standards.
It's good to hear that the third edition of the standard is being well received. And as we've heard in previous podcasts, SMEs also appreciate the educational materials that the ISB has published to support SMEs in applying the standard. So now to the big question for this podcast. Why is the ISB proposing an amendment to the standard soon after issuing it and before its effective date?
Well, to answer that, I need to provide some context. We've talked in previous podcasts about the SME implementation group. One of the SMIG's tasks is to answer application questions about the standard or make recommendations to the ISB on how to resolve those questions, if it can't resolve the question itself through education material. Now, the SMIG received an application question at the beginning of this year about whether a consolidation exception in IFRS 10 would also apply under the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard. Although the standard does not include this exception, the SMIG's recommendation to the ISB was important enough to amend the standard. And it would be really helpful to preparers if the amendment could be effective at the same time as the third edition.
Yes, the question was about consolidated financial statements. Usually, an SME that's a parent entity has to prepare consolidated financial statements unless it's exempt because it's part of a wider group and its ultimate parent or an intermediate parent prepares consolidated financial statements applying the standard or full IFRS accounting standards. But if the SME's parent is an investment entity using full IFRS accounting standards, the parent won't prepare consolidated financial statements, but instead will apply the IFRS 10 requirement to measure its investments at fair value through profit or loss. This would mean that the SME would have no exception from preparing consolidated accounts, as there are no consolidated accounts higher in the group.
Yes.
And yet, if the SME used full IFRS accounting standards instead of the SME's accounting standard, it would be able to use the exception in IFRS 10. It was this difference between the standard and full IFRS accounting standards that the SMEAG were asked about. The question was concerned about the requirements for SMEs using the standard being more onerous than the requirements for those entities using full IFRS accounting standards. So the SMEAG recommended that the ISB amend the standard to allow the same exception for SMEs. Often when the SMEAG receives an application question, it can answer the question by issuing a Q&A, which interprets the standard. But here the proposal is to change the requirement for the standard, which has to be done by an amendment. The ISB agreed with the SMEAG's recommendation and published the exposure draft in April 2026.
So the exposure draft only covers this single issue, and it's open for comment until early September. If feedback supports the proposal and the ISB issues amendments to the standard, those amendments should be issued by the end of 2026 and will therefore be available to SMEs that apply the third edition of the standard for their 2027 year ends. It's out of the ordinary, though, isn't it, for the ISB to look at amending the standard outside the normal cycle of periodic reviews?
Yeah, it's unusual, and the ISB didn't do this without careful consideration. As I said earlier, the ISB aims to keep the standard stable for SMEs. Although the ISB is committed to periodically updating the standard, it's never ruled out making amendments outside this review cycle if they're necessary. Although it only aims to do this in very rare circumstances. And in fact, this would only be the second occasion the ISBs amended the standard outside the periodic review. The first was in 2023, when the ISB made an urgent amendment to the standard relating to Pillar 2 disclosures. Proposing this amendment now does not change the ISB's commitment to those periodical reviews. However, on this occasion, the ISB felt it had almost a unique opportunity to help SMEs by synchronising the timing of this change with the introduction of the new edition. It's also worth noting that the amendment would introduce an exception rather than a new requirement, and the use of the exception is optional, so it would be making the standard easier to apply and not more difficult.
This makes it different from normal amendments, and it's a rare opportunity to make an amendment before the standard's effective date. The exposure draft's open for comment at the moment, and anyone interested can access it on the IFRS Foundation's website and can submit feedback until the 9th of September 2026. Do you think, Michelle, that there's any particular interest groups that the ISB would like to hear from?
You know what, I think it's really important the ISB hear from a broad range of stakeholders. It would be useful if SMEs can explain whether they would want to or be in a position to make use of the exception. We know some jurisdictions require consolidated financial statements, so SMEs in those jurisdictions would be unable to use the exception. For investors, at the moment, companies preparing financial statements under full IFRS accounting standards can use the exception. So it would be really helpful to understand if investors in SMEs have more interest in their consolidated financial statement than they would in the consolidated financial statements of other investees.
Thank you. After the comment period closes, the ISB will discuss the feedback and will make a decision taking into account all that feedback on the proposed exception, particularly any issues that investors raise about it. If the ISB decides to proceed with the amendments, it should be quite a rapid process so that the amendments are issued by the end of the year. If they don't proceed, then SMEs will continue as they are. That is, they'll continue to be required to prepare consolidated financial statements unless they have a parent entity that itself prepares consolidated financial statements, applying the standard or applying full IFRS accounting standards. Of course, an SME with an investment entity parent that was very keen not to prepare consolidated financial statements may be able to choose to prepare its own financial statements under full IFRS rather than the standard, but this itself could be more onerous. Do you have any other closing comments, Michelle?
Thank you, Helen, and thank you for all the hard work throughout the second comprehensive review. It's been fascinating to hear directly from stakeholders during the review process. The third edition of the standard marks a major milestone, and we believe SMEs are now preparing for its implementation. The extensive feedback has enabled the ISB to strike a careful balance between the needs of the users of SMEs' financial statements and the realities of SMEs' resources. After all, SMEs are the backbone of the global economy. They're the birthplace of innovation before they become the global brands.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you to our listeners. If listening to this has made you interested in the work of the SME Implementation Group, you might also be interested to know the group has recently issued a call for new members. You can find more information on the IFRS Foundation website. After this, there will be just one more episode of the podcast. You can access all the episodes through the IFRS Foundation website, where you'll also find educational materials produced by IASB technical staff, covering all the modules that were significantly changed in the third edition. Until next time, it's goodbye from us.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please take the time to rate, review, and subscribe on your preferred podcast player. Please contact us on communications@ifrs.org with any questions, comments, or suggestions. You can also sign up for email alerts on our website, ifrs.org, or find us on social media.